My dear listeners, welcome. This is the episode number 50 of my podcast Nechse Nest, and it's about horses and people. And as you might have noticed, there is something strange today. And yes, this podcast will be in English. To start with, I would like to apologize for my English. It's far from perfect, but we have a very special guest who does not speak Czech yet. So maybe in the future this will change. But our very special guest is Margaret Coates. Welcome, Margaret.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I guess you know Margaret already. She's a world-known specialist in animal healing, or in healing in general. She's an author of several books, which are wonderful. And also she's the author of the book Healing for Horses, which was translated to Czech recently. And you can read it and get all the experience, or not all, but very much of the experience of Margaret and wonderful stories from her healing career and life. Also, she's a mindfulness teacher and she's a great inspirator, and definitely she's a voice of animals. So we are extremely happy to have you here in Czech Republic.
And I'm really happy to be here. So it's such a wonderful place to be. I've met and I'm meeting amazing, special people. I'm so surprised at how spiritual the people are here, how they're on the wavelength of healing and communication and improving things for horses. And I, of course, I've met some just fabulous horses.
Normally, when you start some interviews or podcasts, they are asking you how it all started and all this. So we will just skip this because it's in the book. It's in the different podcasts we can find on the internet. So we'll just skip this part and get directly to the maybe most interesting topic for us today, because we have your book, Healing for Horses. So in Czech, it's called Léčení koní, for those who don't know. And can you just explain to us what healing is?
Well, healing is, in the terms I'm using it, in the terms I'm teaching it, is connecting energy field of the human to the energy field of the animal. Animals read energy, they understand energy, they sense when the energy that we are transmitting and contacting with comes from a very special level through intention, through sending out love. We are connecting soul to soul, and when we match the resonance of the horse, which is how healing is on a very deep wavelength, then the horse senses something is happening that's beneficial. It reaches everywhere through the cellular system in the body of the person we're making a contact with. So typically we use our hands to lightly touch, or we can be not touching, just hands off the body, or sometimes with very traumatized horses, I'm standing a few meters away.
Can everybody do that, or do you need some special qualification or some gift? Or
everyone can do this. And in fact, it was interesting in the webinar that I've done here that people were saying when they read the book, they were crying because they felt alone. They were reading what I'd written and they were sensing this special energy. We are an energy being, as is the horse or any animal. And so we can connect to this very special resonance. At whatever age, I started when I was a child. But for people who haven't already connected, yes, you can do this. In the book, I've laid everything out and I've given away all of the tips and the descriptions of how you can go, you can start, you can channel healing energy, because my passion is that everyone can awaken to this for the benefit of the horses, but for themselves, because it deepens the relationship. And it's done through a deep feeling of love, unconditional love.
Yeah, that's what really surprised me when I read the book for the first time a few years ago, that you are just writing it in a very, like, normal way. Like, we're not doing anything secret or super special, but everybody can do this, and this is how you can do it. But if you can just say, if somebody is, like, having a horse, riding him a normal way, he's not into spiritual thing that much, where could he or she start? What's the first step?
Well, people don't need to be actively in a spiritual way. They just need to want to help on the deepest level possible, because that's a strong connector. They also need to acknowledge that the horse is a spiritual being, and I use the word spiritual meaning a being with a life force essence. Horses have a life force. They wouldn't be standing in front of us if they didn't. Everything has energy. That's the first law of physics. So that's a fact. It's not an idea. So no matter what people think or feel about a source or a meaning to life, if people come to their roots, their core, their senses, and explore this incredible energy that we have within us, that when we can actually turn this energy to do harm, we can become angry, we can become impatient, or we can be loving, wanting to help on the deepest level. And that flicks our energy into something else. And then we practice it. We can do a few minutes, and the more we practice, the stronger it gets, and the more we learn about it, and it becomes a lifetime way of being.
Yeah, it is. You find something new every time.
Every time there's something new, because we are unique beings. We're connecting with unique beings, the horses or dogs or cats, whichever we want to channel healing to. And I'm always amazed. I've done tens and tens of thousands of connections to horses and other animals, and every single time there's magic. Something happens, something new, or I sense something in a different way, or you sense the energy flow in a different way, the horse reacts in a unique way. For me, that's one of the things that keeps me going, because there's so much to learn, there's so much to experience, and the horses are waiting for us to be drawn to make this connection so that we can evolve and grow as humans.
You have also the ability to tune into animals, to communicate with them, to hear what they're saying, if we can simplify it like this. Is that a gift, or everybody can train to do it?
Well, I found that communication is on the same wavelength as healing energy. So it's all about becoming still within. If we are distracted, full of negative thoughts, negative energies, too busy, we can't grasp these special moments. So it's all about setting time to be still, going off on our own, finding a way that we can breathe deeply, find some calm, and then not having an agenda, simply being there with the horses or other animals, sending out love unconditionally without asking for anything, allowing healing energy to flow, and then drifting in this wonderful, calm, space we've created of peace. And in those moments, flashes of insight pop to us. And it's the deepest form of communication where we suddenly sense something about their needs, or we sense an image, or we sense a feeling, because it is on the same energy wavelength. And so I always encourage people, just let yourself go, channel a healing energy, don't be impatient, and suddenly you will get these wow moments where you think, wow, sitting in front of me is someone who's sending me messages.
And does it work like vice versa, or how can horses understand us? Do they understand when we speak Czech or English, or...
So that's a really good question, and I travel the world and people say, does it matter what language I'm doing healing in or speaking? It doesn't, because the spoken word, of course, animals become used to a spoken word, stop, go back, etc. But the true communication, the true language from us, is the silent one, where we are channeling healing energy and we are in this space of peace, and the communication is soul to soul. And the way we do this is simply by drifting in this space of peace, not stringing together a sentence, because that becomes an agenda, but just being. And in that powerful space of being, there is a blank space, like a blank page in a book. And suddenly, both of us, the horse and the human, are transmitting information. And we don't, it's not in words, it's just in thoughts. And on this platform, I keep coming back to this platform of love. So even when we're not channeling healing energy, and we're with our horses or other animals, everything we think is a communication. All our emotions are a communication. And that's where huge problems can arise, because we often don't understand. We're giving the horse or the dog instructions, or we're sending them our worries or concerns or opinions. So this is why it's so important each time to just be still. And the more we practice that, being with them in stillness, the easier it becomes. In the beginning, people often find it really difficult. Mm. And with practice, it becomes second nature. Then we don't have to make an effort to do it. The easiest way to start is slow, deep breathing.
And how does the energy of different animals feel? Does a dog have a different energy, or a human from animals? What's the difference?
Absolutely, there is a big difference. And once you get into sensing energy and becoming more sensitive, we can recognize the differences. So I've worked with a great many animals. And even within a species, like within humans, the energy will be slightly different. I remember once being in the Stanley Park in Toronto, Canada, where I was running a course. And for the first time in real life, I saw a raccoon. And I just came around a corner and it was there in front of me. And there was a man with some people and they started shouting, "Get away, they're horrible, they're vicious." But I didn't get a sense of that from this animal. I suddenly became the raccoon. It because I was in looking around. It's when we let go that these things happen most specifically. So I'd be looking around. My thoughts were clear. Suddenly I blended with the energy of this raccoon. And I felt like he did. And I saw the world through his eyes. And I recognised in that moment they have very poor eyesight, because suddenly I felt very small, I felt very frightened, and I couldn't see very well. But the interesting thing was, and it relates to your question, I sensed the energy of these people who were shouting and saying, get away. And their energy was horrible. It was like a black bullet running at me. Anyway, I just asked the people if they'd just calm down. I said, can we just all calm down? Leave him in peace. And then he wandered off. And when I went back to the hotel, I researched the raccoon, and it was all there in writing that they have very poor eyesight, etc., etc. But I had drifted into being him.
Mm-hmm.
And so these magical things happen. So for me, the more I've been doing my work, the more when I'm with horses or the other animals, the more I'm able to empathise with them. And that's a key thing, where we become very empathic and very tuned in. It doesn't mean we become somebody else. It just means we develop our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And you're traveling the world around.
Yes.
Is there, for example, difference between Czech horses and US horses or New Zealand horses?
It very much depends on the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big factor. But in terms of the nature of horses, as a species, they are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the older pure breeds, like I met the Cladruber here,
mm-hmm.
have a very special energy signature.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, if I go somewhere where they've done a lot of intensive crossbreeding, they're doing a lot of intensive competitions, they've been rounded up, they're very stressed, then, or I go into a rescue centre, all of these places, then the energy is like a screaming, screeching noise, and that means we have to go in and just work our way, walk through that noise and stay very peaceful.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think is that, for example, Cladrubers or these old breeds, they have a special kind of energy?
I think anything that's ancient, that comes from a line when on planet Earth there were few humans. And for me, my interpretation, they've brought that with them. They've brought back a memory of the planet when it was very low populated by humans, when the horses were running free and wild. And I know that there's been some breeding to get to the Cladruber, but they do come from very ancient stock. And so I find this with the wild animals as well, that you can sense in them the time when humans didn't interfere, when they were free to be their own species within their own organization, mm-hmm. their own society.
Mm-hmm. And what about humans? I mean, can a bad person be a good healer? You know, do we need to have special characteristics, or, you know, never steal anything in the shop to be a good healer, or how does
anything
it work?
Anything that we do that's aggressive, selfish, self-motivated in a bad way, that is dark, that is violent or angry, will block a healing connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a choice. We are, because it's all about resonating light. And if we're stealing from people, then that is a very selfish act. We're harming people. If we're violent towards people, if we are in any way feeding on the negative energy, we cannot resonate light energy. What people can do is try and fake it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have a website and say, I'm doing all of these things, etc., 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 because they're attracting people either for power or to make money, And I have met such people.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at the whole background of someone. We need to look at their whole lifestyle to make sure that they are actually walking the talk and treating people in the kindest, most empathic, gentle way. I mean, we all have days where we think, oh, you know, I feel fed up or angry or something. But I mean, those are moments. It's not a lifestyle. But we cannot, humans cannot connect on the vibration of love if they're not loving, if they're not radiating love, and they're not sensitive to the feelings of others. And the others could be a horse.
Is there some kind of rule that you need to first love yourself to...
That is a perfect statement. And often on my workshops, when I invite people to go up to horses and say, I love you, there are some people who become emotional, or they say, I can't. And, start talking to people and they say, because I don't love myself, I'm not worthy, X, Y, Z, I've made all these mistakes. And I help these people through that because they're there, they've come because they want to move on. And I explain to them that I've made mistakes. That's part of being human. No one comes here perfect. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else. Because this, to me, is a place of learning and progression. So when I meet people who things have happened to, I really resonate with it because of my family background, my husband's family background, where things have happened where people don't feel loved, or they feel they can't love themselves because they're not worthy. So I help people through that, and I explain that the horse doesn't, in that moment, feel that we are incapable of loving ourselves. And once people manage to say the words to the horse, I love you, it can be a huge cathartic change where a barrier drops down, a huge relief, where everything falls away. And I say, this is the first moment of the rest of your life. Now let's move. Together, let's move.
And do we need to do some exercise in a special way, or do we need to have a special diet to be a healer?
Well, I haven't eaten animal products for 43 years, simply because one day when I was riding, I went into a big building behind and there were veal calves in there, and I realised I was in a factory farm situation, and the terror, the pain, the grief and the shouting of these silent little babies hit me. They were shouting, help me. And I stood there frozen and I said, no one will die for my plate again. And that was the day I stopped eating animal products. And because I feel personally, how can I stand in front of a horse who's a prey animal, herbivore, and they look at me and they know that I eat other animals. To me, it suddenly, the penny dropped that I couldn't do that anymore. So I haven't. And I'm not going to tell anybody else what to do. Everybody has to find their own way, except I just feel the horse knows everything about us, and they will know if our body, because they can smell meat and so on. So it's everybody's journey. This is my journey, and it was a decision I made. The other thing we can all do is have relaxation exercise. Any exercise that slows the body down. Yoga's particularly good. I've tried both yoga and Pilates. I found yoga a bit easier for me. But I always say to people, just adapt the exercises. I only do some things of yoga. I love dancing at home on my own. I just love free dancing. Any movement that takes us into a happiness feeling. And of course, deep breathing. Anybody can do that anywhere. I do it sitting reading, or I might be sometimes watching TV, or I'm on a train, or I'm on a plane. Deep breathing exercises is now given to patients, hospital patients, because it's proven to reduce stress in the body, and it's proven to reduce inflammation in the brain. There are lots of apps, so I recommend that everyone every day does some quiet deep breathing, maybe even making breakfast or something, where they can find a space, just breathe.
And as you are the voice of the animals, you can hear horses saying very different things, very important things, very deep things. Is there something you think that horses would like us to know?
Horses would like us as a species to be more peaceful. Because they, as prey animals, can only survive in the herd on a peaceful environment. If I live in a national park where there are 4,500 free-roaming ponies, and walking amongst them is peaceful. The only time they get out of that state of peace is if someone comes with a loose dog running around, or they do crossroads and things and the traffic might be there. But just walking amongst them, and sometimes visitors come who are not horsey, and they walk around with me and they say, they're not doing anything, because they're just being. They're just hanging around, grazing a bit, slowly standing sometimes for hours, just being at peace. So I think the biggest message from horses is they say to us, you know, all your problems are, a lot of your problems, a lot of what you're looking for is to do with your lack of inner peace. And once you find that, everything shifts. And it shifts for the horses, so constantly, time and time again. And that's what, for me, is so amazing when I'm contacting with healing energy, is we dance in a deep place of peace. And that is everything. It's all life. It's how we resonate as a soul being. It's like a permanence of how we can be in this core energy of peace. And it's love as well.
What do horses think of us? It's like their owner. How can I tell if my horse is happy or not?
Well, horses actually, in my experience, know everything about us. Or a lot about us. So often when I go to horses, and I'm in the middle of the healing, I sense information, sense images. And then I will say to the person, they usually say, if you sense anything, please tell me. And then I might say, well, I'm sensing this image and that image, and how does it relate to your life? They don't stand there and give you the whole life history, but they can pick up things from us that are happening even when we're not with the horses, because they're reading that energy, the stresses. So that's really interesting when images come, information comes. And sometimes it can be quite frivolous. It's just their way of saying, I want you to know I know everything about you. And other times it's their connection. They are giving the person love, or they're trying to help them, or they're trying to get them to change their mindset. So quite often that comes around. And the interesting thing is, when the human really wants to connect in the healing session and has their hand on and is letting go as well, something shifts in the human. They feel different. They mm-hmm. act differently. So I can give you a for example. Mm-hmm. So I was asked to go to a horse who, they told me, would soon be euthanized because he was an ex-show jumper, collapse down with the back legs, couldn't get up, and it was getting more and more. The woman had stopped riding, but she was very sceptical of what I did. She didn't ask me to visit. Her friends who knew me were saying, you know, try this. So she said, okay, I'll try it. And I went along, and she's a high-ranking medical human professional, mm-hmm. so I've got this very scientific head, and I could see she was a bit tense and a bit, I'm not sure about this. And I just said, just relax, just have your hands on. And immediately I could see into the horse's body where the energy blockages were. At that time, I didn't know he was collapsing. They'd mm-hmm. called me for that reason, but hadn't told me. Mm-hmm. They just said, could you give healing to this horse? So I had an image of him collapsing, which immediately made her realise that something was going on between me and the horse. Mm-hmm. And I could identify in which area. And the horse became very, very still. And she said to me, actually, you know, this is very unusual because normally people can't touch him. Mm-hmm. You've come. I always talk to the horses and introduce myself, give them my hands to smell, get myself into a still space, which is easy and quick for me to do. And it doesn't matter if it takes other people a while. Just practice, just let go, just breathe. And so I introduced myself, put my hands on him, and she said, I said, what's the matter? She was sort of pulling a face. She said, I'm waiting for him to move away from you. He doesn't like people touching you, but he's leaning on you. Mm. And he leant onto me so much that his whole body was across me. Mm-hmm. And he became very sleepy. And so I gave her this information. And I said, you know, don't ride him anymore. But I'm not a vet and I'm not diagnosing, but I think with the right veterinary help, what he's saying is he could continue with some happy life. So she took him to the veterinary hospital. He was scanned and x-rayed. They identified where the problem was. She went with him. It was a few hours later after I was there in the lorry to the hospital. And she was really anxious because she expected him to go down in the lorry. Mm-hmm. He didn't go down. He didn't go down at the veterinary hospital because she'd been saying to them, look, he's falling down every couple of hours. So he goes to the veterinary hospital. He doesn't go down at all. Mm-hmm. She had to show videos. Mm-hmm. So they agreed, go home and see. So 3-4 months on, he's now living out in the pasture like your horses are, mm-hmm. like Fando and Gallardo. Happy, not showing any problems. She is a completely different person. Her face looks happier. She's more peaceful. So it's always a combination of everything when you connect. And also what I've experienced is when the horse knows they're being listened to, when they know that you stand in front of them and you say, who are you? I hear you, and you do, then everything changes for them. Mm-hmm. So that's something else I do every time I stand in front of a horse, is I say, who are you? Not what are you, but who are you? Who are you? Because nobody's ever asked them that.
Mm. Yeah. And does it happen often that you are being like tested, that people call you and just, we will not tell her anything. Yeah. And often, let's see.
In fact, I say to people when I go with my booking form and I say to them, right, don't tell me anything. If they approach me and say, I'd like you to come out, I'll say, yeah, we'll do the booking, but please don't tell me anything. Just the name, the age, how long you've had the horse. And the reason I ask that is because if I pick something up, I need to know whether it could be with this person or previous. Because if I get lots of information, it's just human nature. My brain will start processing it. And then I will think, oh, yes, I once went to a horse who had this sort of arthritis, or this happened, that happened. Maybe it's this. So I like to go completely neutral, pick up the information, and then see where it goes. Because what the horse communicates, it might be one thing, but relevant in a way that nobody expected. And sometimes people say, I have had people cancel a booking and say, I'm frightened, I'm concerned what the horse might say.
Yeah, I can understand it, yeah.
And, you know, that's also okay.
Yeah. Sometimes what's really tricky about communication with horses, and I'm warning people in advance, I say, if you want to really communicate, but really be prepared that the horses can tell you what they think.
Yeah.
And it can be, and usually it is, like, very painful.
Yeah, it can be.
So...
Yeah, it can be. And so, you know, all of these things happen because they are prey animals. They are designed anatomically, mentally, physically to have a free-moving life with lots of time outside. They're social animals. The more, and they're not, they did not evolve to be worked in their way that they worked in the human world. So if you watch the wild horses, the New Forest ponies, they walk a lot, they spend a lot of time standing, relaxing, they have their heads down, they very rarely gallop, they very rarely trot, they even less often, well, they canter sometimes if they're moving a little bit. They might trot. They very rarely gallop unless something's chasing them. But they are animals that conserve energy and they like peace. So if we look at their lifestyle in human-managed situations often, it's not what the horse needs.
Yeah. So what about the classic situation when horses... kept in a box for, if he's lucky, then only a half of the day or more, and just going outside for a few hours a day, can, and then train because he's a, like, athlete. They say happy athlete in FEI, which is my, like, favorite. Have you ever met a horse in your life with that management that would be okay with it?
No. And I've worked with many high-level competition horses. The ones that have been okay with their life are the ones with people who understand it. I've worked with Olympic gold medal-winning event horses, and the person I'm thinking about, his horses were out in the paddocks all day. And came in at night because he recognised that, and he used to say they're horses, they need to move, they need to be outside, so he would ride them, they would be outside all day. Those horses were happy, and he always said to me, when I'm riding my horses, I need them to have a happy brain, otherwise I'm fighting something before I even set off. But I've been to places where the horses are all of the time in boxes, often in a dark space. There's no way to put their head out, and even that's nothing. They become stressed, more prone to injury. But I say to people, how would you feel if someone shut you in your downstairs toilet? Because the horse is a big animal. In the boxes, it's the equivalent of us being in our toilet. Shut in. Somebody will put some water in, some food, and you'll be there for hours. and then somebody will take you out, take you somewhere you haven't chosen to go, just to do something, heavy exercise. Then you'll be put back in your stable with lactose going through your muscles, sweating. Oh, you know, they might give you a wash down, and then you'd be put
or a rug.
Or a rug, and then you'd be put back into this space. How would you feel? And you're driving off to your houses, your families, your jobs, your social life, and you've left behind a slave.
Yeah. Can a healing help in these situations?
I've been to many of these horses, and I always say to these people, if you don't change the lifestyle, the healing will, in the moment I'm there, the horse will sense peace, deep peace, because I'm loving and I'm apologizing. Hmm. And I'm saying, I'm really sorry. Let me, in the time I'm here, hold you in my arms and love you. You will feel the peace that you're missing. You will feel yourself with the herd. You will feel yourself back with your mother horse, with the mare, which all horses have bonded to historically. You will feel the peace. You will feel the freedom. But I know when I go, I can't change your life. And sometimes that people will say, oh, the horse is different for an hour or a few days, and then they come back to it. And I always tell these people, this is all I can do and all I can give them, because you have the responsibility to make their life better. Mm. And everything that happens that you're not happy about with these horses is because of their lifestyle. A prey animal, a huge, big, heavy animal that should be with friends, free moving, in daylight, is depressed or stressed.
Yeah. And somebody can tell you, oh, but my horse is happy. How can we just...
Well, I say to those people, okay, let's look at it logically. How happy would you be if you lived in your bathroom?
Yeah.
So think about it logically. Your horse can't be happy living in a stable, especially in the dark stables, for long hours. It is not possible for a big prey animal to be happy, because we wouldn't be happy shut in a small space. So it doesn't make any logical sense to say, my horse is happy shut in a stable all day, often in the dark, and I just go for an hour or two and do things. How can that be happy unless we say, well, I would be happy shut in my bathroom all day?
Is there a way a horse can enjoy being ridden?
I think so. I know horses that are well and enjoy it. I've experienced it myself. There is a huge problem with badly fitting saddles. Saddles, in my experience, can be made not level, not square, with twisted trees. I've seen it. There is a lack of global education in fitting saddles, measuring saddles. The best saddle fitters I know are also biomechanic trained.
Yeah.
They're body workers. They can see the muscle set. They don't just go out, put it on and say, yeah, it fits, and go away. So wherever I travel in the world, the very, very best are biomechanically trained musculoskeletal people who also fit saddles. So saddle needs to fit. Then we need to look at the whole situation of bitting. Unfortunately, that is moving forwards and progressing. And we now have vets who are trained in dentistry. People are looking at the mouth. But to answer the question, yes, it is possible for horses to be happy when they're not in pain, when they're not sore, when we have a good rapport, to ride out. And my experience is they like the most natural form of riding, like they would do in a herd. A lot of walking, going out like trail riding, a little bit of trot, the occasional canter, things that are within the physical capability of the horse that they're born to do. They don't gallop all day in the wild. They don't trot all day. They don't canter all day. It's a lot of standing and a lot of walking. So the trail riding, I've found that they have, just walking in the countryside, the horses enjoy.
Yeah, if they're like sound and
if they're
fitted,
sound
fitted saddles.
And fitted saddles and their teeth are okay, then I've found that they are happy to do this with us.
Yeah, good to hear.
At least very happy, yeah. And, you know, they're less sociable animals. Often people say, can you come and give healing because my horse doesn't like going out on his or her own? And I say, think about it. They're a herd animal. Some horses need a friend to go out with. Some people don't like walking out on their own. You know, I prefer to go for a walk with somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
So there are horses, and I say, well, that's not what healing's about. Why don't you just look at changing the lifestyle? Find somebody else, ride out together. And then they go, oh, yes, I did that. My horse is really happy. So it's looking at the mentality of a horse and thinking, if I was this horse right now, what would make me happy as a life?
Now another question came to my mind. How can I tell if a healer I have chosen is a good one or a bad one? At least you have some registration in UK. Here in Czech Republic, we don't know. We don't have anything like that. So, but there are a lot of people out there just popping out on social networks.
You probably have a Reiki structure, do you?
Yeah.
So the Reiki structure would take, if it's a proper, I think it's the Usui line you have to go to. If it's the proper one, which takes like 2 years, you do have a registration and there's a structure. And I always think, well, at least those people have devoted them time to studying and you have a professional body that they belong to. So that I have a lot of Reiki contacts, Reiki people. In the UK, we have the registration. There's a registration system in Germany, I think. So it's then talking to people and meeting them, finding out about how they live their life, remembering that in all disciplines, there are people who might want power and control and or to think, right, there's a need, I'll make money this way. So it's looking at the integrity of that person. How do you feel? Ask them questions, interview them. Because remember, it's you, your life, your horse, your money, if they're taking a payment. You need to know what their background is, what their experiences with horses, and then watch them. And if they come to your horse and you don't like their manner or the behavior, don't be afraid to say, well, this isn't working. I mean, even some registered healers can go off into the realms of ego. Can I tell a story? It's to do with a woman and a cat, actually. But it's an example of how people can be very controlling. So she was a registered healer in the UK, a client of mine went to her after I was working with her cats for a long time, and the very old one passed away, and he was really old, about 20. And she had become herself really depressed about this cat, thinking, I need to know he's still there. Is he okay? All the things we go through when we lose an animal. Where are they? What's happened? All the things, what's gone wrong? Could I have done something else? And because I was travelling at the time, I wasn't available to talk to her. So she got in touch with this other person who recognised that the woman who'd lost the cat was very wealthy. So I think she thought, okay, we can sell her six sessions. So I, when people say, how many times should you see my horse? I said, let's try one, see how you get on. Then if you feel there's more, you'd like more, we'd go from there. Because you can, in one session, release things. Sometimes the person likes you to go back again because they want to build a relationship. So I'm not selling a book of tickets. Yeah. It's the relationship. It's all through love. It's all about helping. So she'd gone to meet this woman and she said, oh, yes, I'm picking up that your cat is earthbound trapped and it's in a chest of drawers and the soul can't get out. But what I can do is, through six sessions, is release the soul. And she was crying and she said, what do you think? I said, I can tell you, the minute your cat left the body, your cat went into the group soul. Your cat went into this beautiful place. You loved that cat. You had him from a kitten. You did everything for him. You have been conned. And you just block this person from your phone. You block the emails and you walk away. And she said, well, what is some truth in it? I said, that I can promise you there is no truth in it. Just know that your love went with your cat. He is at peace. He's in the light. It's impossible, absolutely 1,000% impossible for him to be trapped here in somebody's chest of drawers. And so we get these people, and it's, you know, and I meet these people sometimes. So it's, find someone that you feel that you would like to have as your friend. Find someone that when you meet them, when you talk to them, you think, they help me to feel good about myself. They help me to feel more peaceful. They are genuine, they're caring, they're empathic, and they're not there just because it's a business.
And maybe we should ask our horses. Just how do they feel?
Ask
about
and when there's a good point. And when you're with the person and the horses, watch your horses. If your horses start moving away, if they start showing pain signals, or the mouth gets tighter, or the eye gets, you know, all the pain signals. If you see any of that, think, okay, so what's happening here? But if the horse is relaxed, the person's relaxed, you can see visibly that your horse is relaxed, you feel relaxed, and there's a benefit afterwards. And sometimes the benefit might be minuscule. Sometimes it might be huge. But so just go on your inner soul feeling in these situations. But, yeah, because in all things, and it's not just in healing, in all things, in animal communication, in body work for humans or for animals, there are people who are not resonating soul to soul, and that's what you're looking for.
So maybe if you just feel that you wouldn't let the person touch you, so don't let them touch the horse.
How do you sense when you're with them? What do you sense from their energy? Just go, and this is another good reason to develop your intuition, to do your deep breathing, to become mindful. Because then when you're with people, you think, yeah, do you know, those people, I feel really relaxed with these people. They have my best intention. Or, I don't know, there's something not right here. I wouldn't want to be friends with this person. And then you just move on.
Or maybe just watch them working on other horse.
Watch them. Just watch, say, can I come and watch you? So all of these things.
And what I also like about your approach, that you always insist on having having the scene animals before you enter. So
having seen so that's really important. Whenever somebody contacts me, I say, and they say I've got problems, and I say, okay, has the horse seen the vet? they might say, yes, currently the horse is in the vet. We're going through tests and scans and the vet's okay. I've mentioned that you can come because in the UK I'm known, so that people are quite open about saying, could I go out? Or in that situation, that's fine. I can continue. If they say, well, yeah, I saw the vet 6 months ago or 2 months ago, I say, you need to get the vet again. Because what you're saying is depression, change in behaviour. It's worried about something. Could be illness. The horse needs blood testing. It could be pain. Because they can't shout out, hey, my back's hurting, or I've got toothache, or I've got headache. So I always make sure the horse has seen the vet. Always. And sometimes people say, no, my horse doesn't need to see the vet. It's all okay, it needs healing. And I say, well, then I'm sorry. Because it's not fair on the horse. If you want to get the vet in, get the checkup done, contact me again.
And can healing help with the pain?
Healing has been shown in some clinical studies to release endorphins in the brain, which are nature's feel-good, produce a feel-good factor and a natural pain relief. So in America, amongst the nursing profession, there's something called healing touch, which is an offshoot from spiritual healing. And registered healers like myself are going into hospices, pain wards, they've done clinical trials. That's all been undertaken in the UK, where it's been shown that people feel better. Now, the sceptics will say it's the placebo effect. Who cares, actually?
Yeah.
If the human feels better because healers have gone into a hospice, a hospital, a children's ward, an old people's home, then that's the most important thing. What you can't have a placebo effect with is animals. So in my work, I can see a calmness come over animals, resolution, and I'm sensing that on the level of pain, because I'm working alongside animals that are on pain medication, that it's boosting that. And I know I've had healing myself when I've had some pain situations, and people have put their hands on me. You know, I've had a knee problem and they put my hands on my knee and I think, wow, I feel so much better. So there is some research into it. Going back in history, if we look at European history going back hundreds and thousands of years, there are ancient drawings, cave paintings, of people laying their hands on other people. In history, it was done by the lord of the manor, the kings. People would go for healing. So it's historically been done to help people. And so, yes, to answer your question, in my experience, there is a help with pain relief. And I've done first aid healing on myself. If I've been out somewhere and banged myself and I've put my hands on, because you can channel it through yourself as well, and just helped myself. And I know people now who are having treatment at a hospital, where they are encouraging them. They're giving them a manual of mindfulness exercises, and in there it says, go for body therapies, go for anything that helps you to feel calm and relaxed, because it will help the whole body.
And are you using some complementary therapies or techniques when using healing?
No, I'm just working purely with healing. So, but also your question's relevant, because I trained many years ago in reflex zone therapy, craniosacral, manual lymph drainage, myofascial in soft tissue, in all of those things. So I would then let healing flow while I was doing that. But now it's I've left all those things because I'm focusing on healing. So those disciplines help me to be able to sense what's happening, mm-hmm. since deeply in the body, and I can sense and track energy.
Identify the
problem. Yeah, thank you. I can identify where the energy is flowing. I can hear the cells and the muscles response. I can hear the craniosacral system response. So when we connect with energy, it's a very powerful connection. And something is biomechanically, at cellular level, happening. Mm-hmm. And it's beneficial. There will be some people who think, I'll try it because I have an agenda. Well, then it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. The agenda is the door that closes the love.
Can a horse mirror a rider, or rider mirror a horse? I mean, in the emotional state or even physical issues.
I mean, I had a classic myself, a story against me, mm-hmm. where many years ago, my friend said one evening, I was working in the marketing job, oh, it's a beautiful summer's evening, come to my horses and we will go for a ride. And her horses lived out in the paddocks. They were free during the day, just for safety, put in the stables at night, but they were all together. So we went to the horses. We started off down the track. And the more we got down the track, the more my horse was going crazy. And jumping on the spot, jumping from side to side, there was a tiger everywhere. It's to the point where I turned to look at her, and her horse was going along like sleepy. Her daughter's horse was going along like sleepy. And I said to her daughter, can we swap horses because I can't manage to ride this mare? Mm-hmm. So we stop. I get on her sleepy horse. She gets on my crazy horse. My crazy horse goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. Her sleepy horse goes, whoa, there's a tiger everywhere, what's going on? And I stopped and I said, do you know what? I've come out of meetings all day. I'm so stressed. I am annoyed, angry. We've had arguments. And I'm carrying it. I'm sitting on the horse with this energy. The horse is mirroring me. Mm-hmm. So I got off and I walked, and the horse went, oh, thank goodness you're walking. And I just walked and walked and walked all the way that evening through the hills, through the valleys, and just breathed. And then when I got on to come back home about 2 hours later, she said, yeah, you're relaxed now. And we just went home, sleepy horse. Mm-hmm. So they mirror us. And when we have all sorts of stuff going in our heads, then they do get more anxious because they sense worries, things going on. They sense when we're not connecting in this core place. Some people say, oh, I've got a bad shoulder and my horse has got a bad shoulder. We're mirroring each other. I don't think it's that simple because a horse is a big biomechanical structure and they get a lot more physical injuries generally than we do through being mm-hmm. ridden and active life. But certainly mentally and emotionally, they can mirror us.
And how can we prevent it? Or maybe, let me rephrase the question. Are there horses with bad characters?
I don't think there are horses with bad characters. I know that there are troubled horses. Mm-hmm. There are horses who are living in chronic pain, and that will affect their behaviour in a huge way. There are horses who are very sick, things like EPN or metabolic syndrome, or Cushing's can all affect the horse, mares with hormonal problems. So these are all physical conditions. There are horses who are so traumatized by things that have happened that they will be very reactive. Horses can grieve for years, in my experience. I've met horses where mares have lost, have been parted from a foal maybe several years before. Friends have gone from several years, and the horse can carry this grief, this, because in the natural world of a horse, this never happens. Mm-hmm. You're born in a herd, you live in a herd, you die in the herd. So swapping, changing, moving around never happens. It's a huge ask of a horse. It takes a lot of effort from us, as you know, with your horses, where you spent a lot of time helping them through the adjustments, the rehabilitation. And so when people label a horse a bad horse, actually that horse is very troubled. And there's research. If we look at Understand Horses website, there's research into what's going on. So there are badly troubled horses. And I went to a racehorse once where somebody asked me to go out to a year-old racehorse. At this particular place, it was a big, expensive place, very valuable. And I'm doing this waving my fingers in inverted commas, horses who would be weaned at 2 months. And by weaned, they're taken suddenly from the mare. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of screaming of the mares, a lot of screaming of the foals. And emotionally, this is shocking because there's a rush of adrenaline, there's a rush of hormones. Some of the foals never get over it. And then I've seen them at these racing studs on the treadmill at 5 months, on the lunge line at 5 months, on the horse walker at 5 months. Their growth plates are everything's open. They're building muscle. They want them to look big to go to the sales. They're building muscle on baby bones. So you know that very quickly in future years they will break down. And this one particular horse was a year old, a colt, and the breeder said, will you come out, because all he does all day is walk in the box. So I went out and I said, well, the first thing common sense says to me is turn him out in the paddocks. And they said, well, we can't, because he'd just run around, because it's mostly mares, and we don't have another gelding. And I said, well, we'll just try in the field next to him, or get a friend. Anyway, no, that wasn't possible. So he walked constantly round and round and round the box, 24 hours a day screaming. He'd stop at the door, he'd scream to the horses in the field, he'd go round and round and round and round. And I said to them, I will give him healing and I will apologise and I will give him love that he's never felt before, but healing will not resolve his situation because he's in shock, he's traumatised and he's grieving. And unless you change his lifestyle, as a horse needs to live, nothing will help him. So they refused to change his lifestyle, and a week later they shot him. So people expect a fix without responsibility for themselves, without doing any change. But I have gone out to horses, I've gone to horse rescues, where they have been very traumatised, but everybody around them has been caring and loving and responsible. Or people have bought a traumatised horse. Some people say, I went to the sales and I had to take this horse. In those situations, yes, healing can work a lot of good because the whole support system's there. And then I give people tips. I show them what they can do. They carry on. I say, right, when I've gone, you do this every day. So then healing definitely does help.
Yeah. What was quite emotional for me was that during the workshop you mentioned that humans are like pain triggers for horses. That even seeing a human can like initiate panic in horses. And I believe it's not rare.
It can create a panic. I've seen this particularly in big competition yards, in the racing yards. I had one particular client who was a racing trainer, and she was wonderful, lovely. Her horses were in the paddocks all day. She only had a small amount. She had in a whole team of therapists and body workers, and she was very careful. But I've been to other places where humans come in, they go to the back of the box. They're shaking when the grooms go in, and all sorts of things are happening. Or they go from a stable to the arena, do some work till they're sweating, go back into the stable, and they come to us, become to associate humans with pain and distress. And who wants to live like that? What human would ever live like that themselves? Put them through hours of work and then go and stand in their bathroom, a small space, and not see anybody, not have a social life, not have any choices, no freedom. The whole thing is crazy.
Yeah, and people will tell you, oh, these horses, they have the best care, the best food, the best hay, whatever. But is that really horses do need, actually?
It's horses need a life that is close as a natural life as possible, out in groups. They need to have a social environment. They need, if they're going to be worked and do work, they need to have a whole team of body workers like a human athlete would. You know, I have athlete human clients, and they have physios and body workers and Pilates instructors and this and that and the other. And you know, you meet them and there's five people comes with them because that's what they need. And yet the horses don't need it. And also it comes back to the weaning, how soon they're worked. People don't understand the whole growth plate situation. They don't understand the musculoskeletal system. I'm talking generally. Obviously, some people do. But things are changing. With social media now, people are saying, hang on, this isn't right. This has got to change. So change is creeping through. Yeah. People are speaking out. The behaviourists are producing evidence. There are vets like Dr. David Marlin who's producing evidence. Sue Dyson's producing evidence. And saying, this is what's happening, and it's got to stop. It's got to change.
Yeah, and we all can be part of it. We need
Everyone can be part of this. Everyone can be part of it. So having a relationship with a horse it can be wonderful, and it needs to be symbiotic. So the horse has as much fun and pleasure and freedom and joy as we want with that horse.
I was asking you if horses are different in different countries, and you are having workshops all around the world. So are Czech riders or horse lovers you've met so far different from the other ones?
The people I've met so far have been wonderful, and I was impressed on the workshop how much they took on board and wanted to create the piece and wanted to do the things as I suggested. And the horses benefited, and we saw that. And also, I haven't seen horses here who've come from a wild horse situation where they've been ripped as a foal and sent off somewhere and travelled around. So there's a different scenario, but in some other countries, then I've seen horses who are not mentally and emotionally in such a good state. But obviously the people who call me out, who want to work with me, have the intention to make a difference. And then they do their best and they use healing to help emotionally, mentally, physically, because they care so deeply to help these horses. And some of the horses I come across are very broken.
Mm-hmm. The question I keep receiving all the time again is, will Margaret Coates be back? Will she be teaching another workshop? Well, when will I be? Can I already, like, subscribe?
I'm wishing that my flight's cancelled on Saturday and I don't go home. I've had such a wonderful time. But definitely I will be back to help people, also, you know, guide people through the book again. Just help people evolve so that the Czech Republic becomes a shining light in this part of the world. Already it is a very bright light for me, what I've seen, the people I've come across, and I've had a wonderful time. I will be back, and hopefully there will be another book translated into Czech so that we can evolve the bigger picture, because my passion, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this to leave a legacy. I made a promise all those years ago that I would make a difference to the life of horses. And so I wrote the first book when people laughed at me. They said I was crazy. What do you mean the horse is a spiritual being? And 24 years on, it's becoming normal. It's going around the world. So I made a promise to the horses because of what I saw and because I was hearing them say, help me. And I was shocked that people weren't hearing them. I'd say X, Y, Z about your horse and they'd say, how do you know? And I'd say, because the horse is giving me that information. So this is my legacy. This is what I will leave behind. So it's my passion to share it as much as I can, and know that the light gets brighter, the love gets bigger.
Yeah. Maybe before we end, I would like just to tell you a thing that happened when you were giving healing to Fanda. That's my Kladruber gelding, for those who don't know. You told me he was giving me a flower.
Ah, yes.
If I know the meaning.
Yes, and you said and you didn't.
I didn't. And yesterday I've opened a book about energy healing, and it was about, the chapter was about heart chakra. It was there that it can, in meditation, you can visualize it very often as a flowers.
Ah.
So I think he was just offering a connection.
And that's a lovely story. Often when horses transmit images or information to me, people say, no, I don't understand it. And I say, hold it, because it has a meaning and it might come to you a day or a few days or a week later. And often people send me a message saying, oh, you know, you said X, Y, Z. Well, now I've got the meaning. So that particular flower that he gave you, it just shows, doesn't it, how incredible they are. These are the psychic masters.
Mm.
These are the master healers.
Yeah.
These are the gods, the goddesses, the all-knowing beings in this form that he is giving you. He can have an oversight of all knowledge, an oversight of you, your life, and will push information to you so that you get it and you think, ah, that's what it is. I found it amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm happy that we managed to publish the book. It wasn't easy.
No.
We had a lot of issues on the way, but we managed to overcome them all. The book is out.
It was wonderful because all the problems and issues we solved.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Yeah. The book is out. So far I've received only the best reactions. It's out helping.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me a few years ago. It was really the first trigger for me to go in this direction, to explore this. And it was really speaking to me. You know, I saw the cover picture, Healing for Horses, what's that? Because I have e-shop with books, so I have many books in my store. But this one, the picture, it was still like, read me. And I was definitely not into the healing topic, all these esoteric things, not at all at the time. And I opened it and I've read it, and it would never come to my mind that we'll be sitting next to each other one day or spending these wonderful days here in Czech Republic together. So it's great how the things are planned for us.
And
somehow.
Also the Czech book is improved from the English one because I went through the text, I've updated it, I've put different stories in, changed things, so it's even better.
Yeah.
And I'm just very, very happy to be here, and it feels like a second home, really.
And thank you very much again for coming, for trusting me that we can do this together. And I hope that all the people that were on your workshop, that you can be proud of us in the future, and we will have something behind us, or maybe inspiring more people to.
I was proud of them on the workshop, and I was so touched by their dedication that the things we talked about, the things I showed them, they actually listened. And the day that I came out of the lunchroom and turned round, and they were slow walking back to the stables because they wanted to get in a place of peace, I thought, you wonderful people, I'm giving you the biggest hug and kiss.
Can't wait for another workshop.
So I can't wait either. It's just been magical, better than I expected, and very, very special. So all of you out there, I'm giving you a big hug from the horses, because I'm here for the horses. They need you. You can help them, and I'll be back.
That's the best news in the end. So thank you very
thank
much
you
again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, and see you, or maybe hear you next time.